Hi, welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halacha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wyshovsky with the 12-minute shiur number 26, What is Prayer? A Follow-Up. Now, we'll be working from a source sheet that you can download at our website, www.frihofinstitute.org/learning, and then scroll down to the 12-minute shiur. In our previous shiur on the machloket between Rambam and Ramban on the nature and origin of the tefillah, Jewish prayer, we saw that Rambam holds that tefillah originated mid-oraita as a Torahitic obligation, with no fixed text performed once a day. So then, how does Rambam think we got from there to the round of tefillot traditionally recited nowadays? Well, his answer is in the Mishneh Torah in Hilchot Tefillah, the Laws of Prayer. At the very beginning, the text is on lines 1 through 14 of the source sheet. He writes that Ezra and his Beit Din not only created a fixed text for the Tefillah, we saw that last time, but also Tiknu Sheyehe Minyan HaTefillot K'Minyan HaKolbanot. They enacted, that's the root Tav Kuf Nun, which here means to legislate, that the number of daily tefillot should correspond to the number of daily public sacrifices offered in the temple. The morning prayer is named Shacharit after the Tamid Shel Boker, the morning sacrifice. The afternoon prayer is named Mincha after the sacrifice offered at the end of the day. And Tefillat Musaf, offered traditionally on Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and the Hagim, is named after the additional or Musaf burnt offering that was brought on those days. Now, all of this is logical, but it leaves out the prayer recited at night. We call it Aravit or Ma'ariv, since there was no korban or sacrifice offered at night. Well, Rambam takes care of that detail in the next halacha, lines 19 through 31. V'chein hitkinu sheyehe adam mitpalel tefillah achat balayla. Similarly, they enacted that one should offer a prayer at night. Why? Well, the limbs of the afternoon tamid offering are consumed by fire throughout the night, as it is said in Leviticus chapter 6, the burnt offering or olah shall remain where it is burned upon the altar kol halayla ad haboker, all night until morning. In other words, Tefillat Aravit is also pegged to an aspect of the sacrificial ritual, even if there is no Tamid sacrifice offered at night. Okay, but then Rambam brings another ta'am, another reason for the existence of a nighttime prayer. Ki inyan shene'emar, erev vavoker v'tzohorayim, asicha ve'ehemeh v'yishma koli. It also follows the sense of the verse, Psalms 55, evening, morning, and noon I complain or I speak and moan and God hears my voice. That word, asicha, I speak, is one that the rabbis associate with prayer. The source sheet points to some examples of this in Bavli Brachot, and we'll see another example of it later. This ta'am suggests the possibility that the reason we pray at night, and in fact, the reason we also pray in the morning and in the afternoon, has to do not so much with the sacrifices as with the idea that we ought to turn to God in prayer, as it were, around the clock at each major segment of our waking hours. So, which ta'am is the correct one, or at least the more correct one? Well, the Mishnah at the beginning of Brachot chapter 4, lines 34 through 43, is evidence that the prayers were enacted to correspond to the sacrifices. Now, in that Mishnah, there is a machloket between the Stam and Rabbi Yehuda over the proper times for the tefillot of Shacharit, Mincha, and Musaf, but that dispute is rooted in different understandings of just when those sacrifices were offered in the temple. Both sides agree that Tefillat Ha'erev, the evening prayer, has no fixed time, and that too is linked to ritual actions connected to the temple service. Thus, the tefillot were originally pegged to Avodat HaKorbanot, the sacrificial rituals. But the Talmud offers another origin story for the daily tefillot, and we find that in the passage from Brachot 26b, lines 48 through 71. Itamar, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina amal, tefilot avot tiknum. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi amal, tefilot keneged temidin tiknum. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina says that the daily prayers were enacted by the avot, or the patriarchs, while Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says the tefillot were enacted to correspond to the Tamid offerings. And there is a Tanya Kevate, a Baraita, to support each of these two positions, a Baraita being a piece of Tanaitic evidence, literary evidence. The Baraita that supports Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina begins on line 55. Avraham enacted the Shacharit prayer, as it is said in Genesis 19, Vayashkem Avraham baboker el hamakom asher amad sham. Abraham rose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood, amad, before Adonai. And standing, from which we get the word amidah, is of course understood as the act of prayer, as in Psalms 106, Vayamod Pinchas vayifalel. Pinchas stood and prayed. Biblical translations suggest that the word yifalel means intervened, but to the rabbis it sounds a lot like vayitpalel, he prayed. Okay, proof that Abraham prayed. Pretty good midrashic power there. Let's go on. Yitzchak enacted the mincha prayer, as it is said in Genesis 24, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot erev. Isaac went out to lasuach, to converse in the field toward evening. And whatever that word lasuach actually means, to the rabbis, it sounds like sicha, conversation, right? And converse, or to talk, is understood as the act of prayer, as in Psalms 102, a prayer of the lonely one who pours out his plea or his speech, sicho, before Adonai. Okay, and then finally, Yaakov enacted the Aravit prayer, as it is said in Genesis 28, Vayivga b'makom vayalen sham. Yaakov came upon paga b'makom, a certain place, and stopped there for the night. Now, came upon is understood as the act of prayer, as Jeremiah says in chapter 7, as for you, do not pray for this people, do not raise a cry of prayer on their behalf. Ve'al tifga bi, do not plead with me. All right? So it was nighttime. Jacob prayed, paga, to the makom, that is, to God. Wow, we got to say, whoever put this little sermon together was really good. Okay, so all of that is proof, Tanaitic proof anyway, that the avot, the patriarchs, created the prayers. But of course, there's also a baraita that supports Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's view that tefillot keneged tamidin tiknu, that the prayers were enacted to correspond to the regular public sacrifices. And you'll see it in lines 73 through 92. Now, this passage, we also find it in the Tosefta, reads like a commentary to the Mishnah in the beginning of Brachot chapter 4, which we saw earlier. It explains the reason for the disputes between the Stam Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda over the times of the daily sacrifices, and it does give the clear impression that the tefillot have to do with the korbanot and not with the avot, or the patriarchs. This baraita has an advantage over the one supporting Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina in that it accounts for all of the tefillot, while Rabbi Yossi's baraita leaves out musaf. The Talmud recognizes as much as it continues. We see this on lines 94 through 104 on the source sheet. Rabbi Yossi actually holds that tefillot avot tiknum ve'asmechin hu rabbanan akorbanot. The prayers were indeed enacted by the patriarchs, but the rabbis subsequently made them correspond to the order of sacrifices. It was they who came along and added Musaf to the original acts of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So, in the end, even Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina accepts that nowadays, following this later rabbinic addition, the tefillot are connected with the korbanot. He has to accept this. De'ilatem ahachi, because if you don't buy this theory, then Tefillat Musaf L'Rabbi Yossi Barabbi Chanina Man Tiknah. How then would Rabbi Yossi explain the existence of Tefillat Musaf? So that brings us back to Rambam, who rules according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and the Baraita that supports his position, and the Stam Mishnah at the beginning of Brachot chapter 4, and against Rabbi Yossi Barabbi Chanina's rather fanciful origin story, namely the tefillot were originally enacted keneged tamidin, to correspond to the sacrifices, and not by the patriarchs. But if so, if that's what he says, then why does he give that second ta'am or explanation for Tefillat Aravit back in line 20, the verse from Psalms 55, evening, morn, and noon, I complain or speak and moan, and God hears my voice? It would seem that Rambam is not entirely satisfied with the explanation that connects Aravit oh so tenuously with the sacrifices. Rather, the reason for the nighttime prayer, as we suggested earlier, is also based in the natural order, we might say human psychology, and not only in the sacrificial order. Namely, that it is good and proper, regardless of the sacrifices, it is good and proper to turn to God at each major segment of the day, Erev, Vavoker, V'tzoharayim. This natural or psychological justification, which Aravit shares with Shachrit and Mincha, makes those three daily prayers, evening, morning, and noon, different from Musaf, which we know is justified only by its connection to the sacrifices. As the Tosafot comment in lines 109 through 112 suggests, Lo tiknu sheva brachot shel Musaf ela mishum unishalma farim sfateinu. The Musaf prayer was enacted only to fulfill the intent of the verse in the prophet Hosea, instead of bulls we pay the offering of our lips. And yeah, I know the meaning of the Hebrew there isn't exactly clear, but at least that's how the rabbis understand it. And that difference, the purely sacrificial context of the Musaf prayer, helps explain why the Reform movement has removed Tefillat Musaf from its prayer book. And there's a lot more to say about that, but hey, look at the time. This is, after all, the 12-minute shiur. And this has been the 12-minute shiur number 26 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.